shame on you. It fooled me. We can't get fooled again.
All right, here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Isn't that the best, Ray?
That is so good. That was the president.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best part of that.
Well, Ray, I'm getting chirped. Like, am I a dummy for being in a peeler joint and saying, hey, you want to go for dinner? Whatever you're going to make the rest of the night, I'll cover that. Let's have a dinner and then meet me out front, grab me, and then we'll go for dinner and I don't get picked up. Am I a dummy?
Well, I wouldn't call you a dummy, oh. I would say that's a shady strategy. It's got some holes in it.
Yeah, but it was... Like,
it was doomed from the start.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, if you knew what we had before that...
A connection.
You two had a connection.
A real one.
You know
one.
What? Oh, you know what you just sounded like? When my wife is watching The Bachelor, and so I stop by, I walk by the TV, I'm like, what the hell is this? She's like, it's The Bachelor. And they're on the first day that they're there, and The Bachelor punts off about 8 of these women. And they're crying. They're like, I thought we had a connection. You knew them for 23 minutes.
Yeah.
What the hell connection did you have? That's what it sounds like to me. Hey, you know, we had a deep conversation while she was sitting there in her underwear, and we really connected.
Well, yeah. I got rinsed worse, too, in Ottawa at the Bear Facts. I got just dummied.
Well, that's why we played the Bush clip, because fool them once, you know, shame on you, peelers, but you can't get fooled again.
Fool me, can't get fooled again.
You know, so it all worked out in the end.
This was automatic, like a nice dinner in Ottawa, Bear Facts. I was with my buddy, bring a friend, whatever, we're going to meet here. And you sit there and wait until 2:30 a.m. and you just...
You know what? You
like,
can't go back.
Like Lloyd waiting but for...
There are people in that establishment go that you walk in and they're like, there's our pigeon. There's our guy right there. You were a pigeon, unfortunately.
I think it's unfair if all three of you think that I'm the pigeon that walks into the peeler joint and says, that's the guy we're going after. That's not fair.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm sure I've been in that situation. Or at least
how many times
been
did you
someone.
Offer dinner?
Me?
No noodles.
Never.
Never.
I just, that's not my thing. I would go with the guys. We'd have some drinks. Like, you know, enjoy. Here's the thing I will say in defense of Jeff O'Neill is I always wanted to be the guy with O'Dog because it was always a lot of fun. That's the one thing I will say.
I can attest to that.
I'll take the fun card any day of the week.
You're not offering dinner.
I'm not offering
point.
Dinner.
No,
but
out the back door.
I'm not going to get into details, gentlemen, but I will say this. You guys are critical of my signature move, but you all watch Vladdy Guerrero swing the bat. He swung at a lot of bad ones, but guess what he did a lot? A
couple of home runs.
Hit some good ones, too. A couple of moonshots in there.
Amen. Enough said.
A highlight reel at some point.
Yes, out of the park.
Well,
carry on, Brian.
Let's get into what it was like being in the building last night. Leafs win 7-4. That's back-to-back games. They score 7 both times on the road. I think that's only the second time they've done that in franchise history. Matthews and Tavares both with 6-plus goals. It's only happened like 3 or 4 times in league history, I believe, early into the season. What was it like to be in the building and watch that kind of display last night?
What struck me is so much we hear about, you know teams are going to match and what they're going to do. And you're on the road, you don't have control of your matchups, and Babcock basically shovels these guys over the boards, and it doesn't matter who the other guys put on the ice, they score anyway. Like, Matthews played 4 games, he's got, what's he got, 2-1, 2-2 for goals. That's like what I used to do in Bantam. Like, it's ridiculous, like, how easy it looks for them offensively. Like, last night, we went in, you know, we get there, we're getting set up, I'm watching them in warm-up, and you know, Dallas looks like they're ready to go. They got some good jump. They played 2 really good games for a new coach. And then Toronto comes out.
Yeah, he's gone.
All right.
Oh, we lost
him. See you later.
Toronto
cliffhanger. I want to hear what Toronto did when they came out.
And Toronto comes out and...
What happened?
Goes to the Gentlemen's Club.
Yeah, they put on a clinic last night. We'll get Ray back. Is he in Detroit? Do we have Ray? All right, Ray, you got us?
Sorry, it's happened twice already today, so I don't know. I'm in a bad spot. So they're ready to play. They got the new coach, and they come out. Toronto dominates the first 10 minutes. And the only thing I just was thinking, I said to Chris at Cuthbert at a break, I'm like Matthews is going to score here. I don't – like, and then, bam, it's in the net. It's like you expect them to score. I don't know. Like, I thought last night they played large portions of that game really well. Like, I thought the last maybe 15 minutes of the third period, they were really good. I thought in the first period, they were really good. And they play like that, and they're just, you know, they get a, eventually they're going to get a power play, and they look like the Harlem Globetrotters, and it's in the net. Like, this, they're a fun team to watch. Like, they're, I just think of all, you know, a few years ago, the games we were just muddling through, and we're like, oh, these suck. They're terrible. And these ones are so much fun to watch. I don't think it's a recipe to win the whole deal. I mean, they're going to have to tighten up quite a few places, but, man, it's good to watch.
It's good to watch, Ray, and it's fun for everybody. It seems like a core group of guys, which you want your core group of guys to do. And I was talking to Andy Petrillo and the guys from Leafs Lunch about this. Don't you think it's important to, like, we've all seen the movie Teen Wolf, where the one guy or the two guys are just dominating. Like, it's not a lot of fun to just sit there and say, well, I don't have to care tonight. These guys are going to go out and do it, and I'm not really a part of it. And it's big-time stuff. It's pro sports. You don't want to really have to go over to a guy and say, hey, do you feel a part of the team? But when it comes to the grind, other guys are going to have to step up. Josh Levo or a Frederick Gauthier or Connor Brown, they're going to have to grind out a 2-1 win in a road rink. So it's great right now when they're all getting the credit, but everyone's got to, they all got to still feel a part of it, don't they?
They do, and that falls to Babcock, I think, in that you know, you're constantly reinforcing with the players, you know, what their role is. You define it, then you redefine it. You tell them why it's important. Otherwise, they just feel like a passenger on the bus. And it's funny you bring up Brown. Like, he races down the ice and he tips in that cheesy little empty netter, you know, that was going in the net anyway.
Good. Put it in.
Yeah, but in the morning, he looks up. You know he does. And he's like, I got one.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter anymore how it went in. The guy that just, I can't make up my mind if he's about ready to break out or if he's in a funk or if it doesn't even matter is Kadri.
Yeah.
You know, like he had three really good chances last night. That's the first time I remember him getting good, clean chances like that in the last couple of games. But he's still got nothing. He seems like there is no spot for him.
Yeah.
And I know that's not...
And Jake Arvey, you could throw him in that in the same category.
Yeah, they're just wandering around. See, I know that's not right for sure about both of them, because Toronto won't win if Gardner's not a big part of it, and they won't win unless Kadri's got lots to do with it. But right now, they just seem like extra parts. It's kind of weird to look at them like that.
Yeah, that's the one I noticed. But Kadri hit a crossbar. Like, he did have a... Yep. Like, if you're all around it, it's just a matter of time. But in the previous games, I thought... And I think it was more of who he was playing with. He just didn't look like he was on top of it.
He's got no option, though, Jamie. It's not going to get that much better. It's going to be one of those guys.
But when Nylander comes back, Kapanen is going to get pushed down, I would think.
Now, there's one thing to say for sure. And I know this probably happened to you. I know what happened to me. You look around at your line mates and you're like, oh, boy, we are definitely the third line.
Mm-hmm.
That's a crappy feeling.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't think you belong there. And so I'm not saying that's what Kadri is thinking, because I don't know that. But if I were him, I'd be looking around and go, wait a minute. All the offense is on those other lines.
And I'm not
there.
You're
right, Noodles. The only way it can fix itself is if Nylander signs.
Right.
But I can't imagine they're racing to their checkbook right now to get him signed.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying, Ray, but if Nylander signs, Nylander's got to be thinking to himself, and Jake Gardner's probably thinking the same thing. Oh, I can sign with the Leafs and everything will be great, but where am I going to be joining the party? I'm not going on that first power play unit. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. But Jake Gardner in the back of his mind has got to be thinking, and it's about winning. It's about the 2 points every night. But Jake Gardner's thinking, my contract's up, and I'm sitting watching this and I'm not a part of it. So ultimately, what, you know, you got to think there's agent pressure, there's thoughts of the player. Like, you're either in the party or you're not. And that's what I'm saying. It's tough to tell a guy, oh, you know, feel part of this. But ultimately, Jake Gardner's thinking, this is the biggest year of my life.
Well, yes, for sure. But don't forget, too, like, guys go and they sign other places and because they want to be a bigger part of something, whether it's whether the team's as good or not, and it turns out to be a face plant for them. I mean, look at Kevin Shattenkirk right now. You know, he was going to be an unrestricted free agent in St. Louis, so they shuffled him to Washington. He had a crappy playoff.
Yeah, he's in
and
trouble
then somehow
now,
the Rangers,
too.
Yeah, the Rangers somehow signed him for $26 million, and now he's not in the lineup for that team. They haven't won yet, and he's not in the lineup.
Yeah.
So, you know, Gardner's going to get paid, and he's not going to, like, I'm assuming people realize by now he's not going to say, oh, I'll leave $2 million a year on the table so I can stay in Toronto. Like, that's not happening.
Yeah.
They're going to run into a problem. He's going to be a problem just like Nylander's a problem. The difference is Gardner's going to carry the hammer.
Yeah, as a UFA.
Yeah, he can walk.
He can walk. And I do think, you know, Omek's a good point, though, about where Gardner's at. And quite frankly, I don't know how he's going to be able to rack up as, you know, big of numbers as he has in the past on that second power play unit. Like, it's just
quickly, Brian, Jake Gardner, it's almost like the best thing for him is to have a pout on because he's out there thinking, oh, I can't be the dynamic Jake Gardner. And it's almost like he's been impressive just being quiet.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's got to...
But you know what that means as far as a contract.
The thing is, he doesn't kill penalties. He's going to be in the second power play year. He's got to really perform 5-on-5, which right. is what...
Which a guy should do. Be under the gun if you want that money.
Yes.
Perform 5-on-5.
And they need it. Right. You know, they
but
need
don't forget
help.
Too, Brian, don't forget, though, say he doesn't get any power play, which he's not unless Riley's hurt, like with that top group, and he's not killing penalties. And say he's really good at 5-on-5, but his numbers, he goes from 52 points and 47 assists to 27 assists and 30 points. A team looking at him will say, he had a really good year at 5-on-5, but wait till he gets back on the power play on our power play.
Exactly.
It's not going to cost him at all.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. I think teams do their due diligence and say, he doesn't have a spot on that power play, but boy, he'll look nice on our power play.
Have you looked at ours?
And he's going to get full value. And like, regardless of what people think of him defensively in that, show me a defenseman in the league. Drew Doughty, Carlson, those guys have turnovers and bad plays all the time. Like, I think he's going to get a lot of value.
I think the X factor, Jamie, for Jake Gardner is Travis Dermott. If he can continue to progress and around Christmas time, if they think that he can replace some of those minutes, they have to look at Jake Gardner and look at the money situation and say, we can't bring you back regardless, so possibly we have to move on from you and we have to flip you for something else. And that's just the reality of the money situation.
I don't know what you guys think of Travis Dermott, but I like him a lot.
Yeah,
and
too.
You know what? He had a tough start to training camp where I think Mike Babcock, Ray, said, you know what? I got to give this guy a jolt, as Jamie uses the phrase from Daryl Sutter. They did it. It worked. And every game he's gotten better.
A little better, yeah.
And what I like about him is that, like, I love the speed and I love the way he's able to jump, but there was this anxiousness to his game where it's like, I got to go there, I got to go this, I got to go 100 miles an hour. And he seemed to be settling down and he's starting to look like a veteran, only it's only year two for him. And I think if he does that, I think he's that talented where in a couple months from now, if he continues to do that, maybe they just say, you know what?
Well, at the very least, Ron Hainsey's out. Like that. That's
not out, Brian. He's a third pair.
But that's what I mean. Like, out of his position. Ron Hainsey, it's unfair to him to put him in situations where he's chasing Sagan around and McDavid.
But you're right. Like, that's where I think Dermott, as he goes up in the lineup, his partner is going to be a lot better as well. That's the other thing we're forgetting is if Dermott's playing in the 5-6 role, like, it's 92 there.
Yeah. And I don't know who the guy is to play with Morgan Riley, if it's some kind of like a Matt Niskanen type, just a really good, solid NHL player. And Niskanen, I think he makes $5 or $6 million a year. But if you can, they don't need Drew Doughty. They're not going to find a Drew Doughty. You can't do it. But just a really good defenseman to play with Morgan Riley, I think they're going to like that.
Well, it's funny, you know, it's not just in Toronto, guys. Like, you know, in Toronto, it's about holdouts and contracts and things. And but in other places, it's injury. And while these injuries are out, there's a whole pile of young guys playing. And now some of the veterans are coming back and or will be coming back. And there's going to be players that we don't even think of that might become available, just like guys you're talking about, Ol,
right,
that might become available that aren't right now. But then because they've been out or been replaced a little bit, like Anaheim's a classic example. They got five forwards out of the lineup. I don't know if you watched Detroit and Anaheim the other night. I did because I did. You know, I'm doing the Wings game here. I think there was 11 rookies in the game. Like if you didn't have a roster in front of you, there were guys you've never heard of before or seen before, and some of them are really good players. Well, those guys are going to become, somebody's going to become available eventually when these other players start to come back. It's like when the Leafs lost McElhinney and Pickard on waivers on the same day. Eventually, those teams are going to get healthy in goal, and somebody's going to pop free.
Yeah.
So there will be somebody. I don't know when, but I guess that's what your pro scouts are supposed to be doing, and what Dubas is going to have to, you know, it's not like he's sitting up there and just going, oh, this is great. Look at our team score seven goals. I mean, they're not oblivious to the, you know, to the potholes that are sitting in front of them for a team that is really good and got a really good chance to win. But how do we make them better than really good? How do we give them a better than really good chance to win? Well, there's going to be some movement before the end of the year for sure.
We were talking about prolific scores in the NHL, and I think we all agreed Ovechkin holds the title, and until someone steals it from him, he deserves that title. The best pure goal scorer of this generation, and won the Rocket last year. I mean, he's still a beast. But that race for number two is up for grabs. I think I'd put Matthews at number two. But, you got Laine, you got Sagan, you got Ben, there's a lot of
great
scorers. Right
now, 2 weeks into the season, he is two.
I got Matthews at two. Who would you have at two, and where would you rank Matthews?
Oh, right now, for sure, I'd have Matthews there. Matthews, like watching him last night, he's big like Jamie Benn. You know, like Ben's acknowledged as one of the top power forwards in the league. I would never consider Matthews, you know, a power forward.
No.
But he is, kind of. Because he's so bloody powerful. Like, who's going to... Mark Methot went to push him off the puck yesterday. He's 225 pounds. And Matthews just kind of, like, brushed him aside. And then when he gets in to shoot it, however, like, you know, people are breaking down his shot, and he's mixed this God-given ability with the hard work to refine the shot, with the technology of the stick to get the kick point in the right spot for the right flex, and the thing comes off his stick like a bullet, and he doesn't miss the net either. And that is one thing, I would say, like, Ovi misses the net more than great goal scorers do, which just out of the sheer volume, he's just amazing. But, you know, when I started, Mike Bossy was still playing. He never missed the net.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously he did, but the great ones, they don't, and I shouldn't say that because Ovi's a great one. The guys that score lots, most of them hit the net a lot. Matthews does not. You rarely see him shoot a puck and it rings all the way around the glass and goes down. So he doesn't waste chances either. He gets it, and I'm expecting him to score just about every time.